Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing the series that I started a week ago entitled Spirit, Soul, and Body. It's one of my favorite things to teach. This is the truth that God used to just transform my life. You know, actually, let me just say this kind of as a background to this, that I had this experience with the Lord on March the 23rd, 1968. I just knew some things because of what I felt and what I experienced in my life, that God loved me, and it had to be independent of anything I deserved. Because at that same time that I experienced the love of God, I had a revelation that I was a religious hypocrite and that I had gotten to where I was trusting in my own goodness. And God just showed me that my goodness would never be enough. And so actually, I, for the first time in my life, had come to realize my unworthiness. And it was at the time when I realized my unworthiness that I had this miraculous experience where the love of God was poured out in my life. And so by putting those two things together, first time in my life, I knew I didn't deserve it. And first time in my life, I really was overwhelmed with the love of God. And so it had to be that God's love was not proportional to my goodness. I knew that intuitively, but it went against everything that I understood. Basically, I'd been taught that you have to earn God's favor. And if you will do all of the right things, then God will bless you. And I was really struggling, and my mind and my emotions were in conflict. I knew and I felt God's love, but I couldn't understand how God could love somebody that isn't perfect. And none of us are perfect. And this teaching on spirit, soul, and body just radically changed my life. And the way that I really came by this, I was reading a book by a man, and I won't tell you who it was or what the book was. It's a powerful book, but I read the first chapter in this three-part book. It's three books by the same author, and I read the first chapter in this trilogy, and I looked up every verse that he was using, and he made some mentions in there about the difference between spirit, soul, and body, and it was your spirit that's been born again, and God is a spirit, and he looks at you in the spirit. And man, when I read that, I looked up those verses. I got so excited that for the last 38 years, I have never gone back to those books. The very first chapter, looking up some scriptures, getting this, has kept me busy for 38 years. When I understood this, it's like a light went on. I began to understand things. And it has literally transformed my life. I'm excited about this. You know, I don't get real demonstrative. Sometimes I have to tell people so that they'll know I'm excited. But I tell you, I'm excited. On the inside, I'm jumping up and down. This has just changed my life. Yesterday, I used Ephesians 4:24, and that verse says, "Put on the new man," talking about this spirit part that has been born again, "which was created in righteousness and true holiness." This isn't talking about an external righteousness and holiness that is based on our actions, but in the spirit part of us. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." It's talking about the spirit part of us. And in that spirit isn't just, you know, have a little bit of goodness, a little bit of righteousness, and then when we go to the Lord somehow or another, it's going to be completed and perfected. No, in the spirit. Now, boy, just put on your seatbelt for this. This is going to be more than what some of you can handle. But in the spirit, you are perfect. You are complete. You are as righteous, as pure, as holy as Jesus is. When you got born again, that new born again spirit that God placed on the inside of you, according to Ephesians 4:24, was created in righteousness and true holiness. Boy, that's powerful. That's powerful. That just changed my whole life. Instead of me trying to approach some goal and trying to be holy enough and thinking that out there, if I could do everything right, over there, God would move in my life. Now, I look back to what Jesus has done. And when I invited Him into my heart and when I got born again, at that moment I became righteous and truly holy. And remember, John 4:24 says, God is a spirit. Those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So God is a spirit, and He is looking at me, not on the outside, not based on my physical actions and thoughts, but He's looking in my born-again spirit that was created righteous and holy, and He sees me and He says, perfect. God's pleased with me. God is not angry with me, nor is He angry with you if you've been born again. If you have received Jesus as your Savior, then you instantly get changed on the inside. Boy, that's powerful. And look at this verse in 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. It says, herein is our love made perfect. I wish I had time to put all this in its context, but I'd never get through all of these verses if I was to do that. But it says, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, speaking of Jesus, so are we in this world. Now, some people have the audacity to say that this means that they are living exactly like Jesus lived when He was in His physical body, that they also are living up to that same standard and they're holy and they're pure and they're all of these things. I'm telling you, that's not true of anybody in the natural physical realm. There's not a one of us that goes around and just raises everybody from the dead, sees blind eyes open, deaf ears open, that walks in love, that turns around to the very people who are crucifying you and saying, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. There's not a one of us that always turns the other cheek, that operates in that kind of love, that knows everybody so that we can look up into a tree and just say, Zacchaeus, come down. Never met the man before and you know his name. There's not a one of us who can claim in honesty, if you would be honest, that you are living in the physical, natural body and emotion, the soulish realm, that you are identical to Jesus in this life. But it is true in the spirit. Remember, it's your spirit that got born again. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, all things are become new. That spirit was created in righteousness and true holiness. And then according to this verse, 1 John 4:17, that spirit is identical to Jesus. As Jesus is, so are we. And it said in this world, not in the world to come. This isn't talking about that when we all get to heaven, then we're going to become like Jesus. This is saying right now, this moment, in this fallen world, in your physical body, inside of that physical body, in the spirit man, you are identical to Jesus. And I know that there's many people all around the world choking on this because this is so contrary to what most people believe. Most people are really only functionally aware of the soul and the body, the external physical realm that you can see, taste, hear, smell, and feel. And in a functional realm, most people do not know that there's another part of them that cannot be discerned or contacted through physical things. And so they go look in the mirror and they see zits and they see gray hairs and bulges and wrinkles and different things. And they search their emotions and they see all this and they think that that's who they are. And they see limitations and failures constantly. And for me to be saying that you are identical to Jesus, there's some people that, again, just cannot go beyond what they see, taste, hear, smell, and feel. They think that if they can't perceive it with one of these five senses, it doesn't exist. But I'm telling you that if you've been born again in your spirit, you are a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. That spirit has been created in righteousness and true holiness. And as Jesus is right this moment, at the right hand of God the Father, resurrected, perfect, pure, holy, all-powerful. As Jesus is, so are we, not in our physical body and not in our soulish mind and actions, but in our spirit we are identical to Jesus. That's nearly too good to be true, but it's true. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it says, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. And the Greek word for one there is the Greek word hes, H-E-I-S, and it means a singular one to the exclusion of another. It's not saying that we are one in the sense that we are just similar, that we have a little bit of God in us. We've now been born of God, and now we are like His offspring, and we have a spark of the divine in us. No, that word hes, H-E-I-S, means a singular one to the exclusion of another. It's stressing being identical, exactly the same. He that is joined unto the Lord has become one spirit with Him. Our born-again spirit, is as perfect, as holy, as pure as Jesus is. 1 John 4:17, as He is, so are we in this world. That can only be true of us in the spirit realm. Our physical body isn't like Him. We've got the scriptural promises that it's going to be changed and we'll have to get a glorified body. We've got the scriptural promises like 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where we now only know in part and we only prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, our glorified body, then we'll know all things, even as also we are known. That's still to come. But in the spirit realm, your spirit has already been changed. Your spirit is as perfect as Jesus is. If you've been joined unto the Lord, you are one with Him. You are identical. If there are such a things in the spirit realm, if as atoms and molecules, then you are atom for atom, molecule for molecule, identical to Jesus in your spirit. I know that there's people choking on this because, again, we look on the external. There are some of you looking at me and thinking, man, I can tell by looking at you that you aren't perfect, that you aren't identical to Jesus. Well, you're just looking on my outward person. You are listening to my soulish realm. You know, I've got a Texas accent. I don't say everything correctly. If I was picking people, I wouldn't have picked me. You know, I'm not the greatest representation for God that has ever been. But see, you're only looking on my outer person. You are listening to my soulish man. You can't see me in the Spirit. I can't see me in the Spirit except through the Word. But you know what? I've come to trust what I see in this mirror. This is like a spiritual mirror, and it says, as Jesus is, so am I in this world. It says that I am now joined unto the Lord, and I am one spirit. My spirit is identical to Jesus. Because according to Galatians chapter 4, it was the Spirit of His Son that He sent into us. When I got born again, God took out of me that old nature, that old spirit being, and He placed within me the Spirit of His Son. And somebody says, well, I don't know that I have the Spirit of God. Well, Romans 8:9 says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ living on the inside of you, then you aren't truly born again. All you are is religious. All you are is just kind of embracing Christian philosophy instead of, you know, Muslim or Hindu or Buddhist philosophy. But you haven't been truly born again. If you get born again, the Bible says that God Himself comes and moves on the inside of you and gives you. He sends the Spirit of His Son into you, crying, Abba, Father. And if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, then you aren't truly born again. If you have been born again, then you do have the Spirit of Christ. And that born-again Spirit on the inside of you is as righteous and as pure and as holy as Jesus is. You've got the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16 says that you have the mind of Christ. It says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, that you have an unction. That means a special anointing or endowment from God in the Spirit. And you know all things, not some things, but all things. And again, some people just disconnect right there and they say, but wait a minute, my experience, my last test shows that I don't know all things. I mean, I couldn't even find my keys this morning. I couldn't find my glasses and they were on top of my head. How can you say that I know all things? In the physical realm, you don't know all things. With your little physical mind, you don't know all things. But there is a mind in your spirit. That born-again part of you has the mind of Christ. It has an unction from the Holy One. It knows all things. Colossians chapter 3, verse 10 says, put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. In your spirit, you have been renewed in knowledge. You know everything that God knows. You know, this is a sideline. I don't want to spend the rest of today teaching on this, but let me just say that this is one of the reasons that receiving this gift of speaking in tongues is such a powerful thing. Because in your spirit, You have an unction from the Holy One. You know all things. You have the mind of Christ. You have been renewed in knowledge. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 14, I believe it is, that when you pray in tongues, your spirit prays. The part of you that has the mind of Christ, that has been renewed in knowledge, that has an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. The spirit part of you that has all of this wisdom is praying when you're praying in tongues. And then 1 Corinthians 14, 13 says that if you pray in tongues, pray also that you may interpret. When you come up against things in your daily life that you don't know what to do, you know, it's typical that Christians will say, well, further along we'll know all about it. We just can't understand. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I believe it's around verse 9. But then the very next verse says, but God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. We quit right there and say, well, we just can't know. Further along we'll understand why. You can't know with your little peanut brain. You can't figure everything out in just your own ability. But in your spirit, you have the mind of Christ. And you can pray in tongues. And when you're praying in tongues, you are praying out this hidden wisdom, the perfect wisdom, the mind of Christ. And then 1 Corinthians 14, 13 says, pray that you interpret. And when you do that, all of a sudden, this wisdom that's in your spirit starts coming out into your physical mind and into your soulish realm so that you can understand it and get a handle on it. I can't tell you how many times I have come up against something that is just beyond my ability. And so what I do is start praying in the Spirit and believing and saying, God, I believe it right now, according to these verses. I can't see it. I don't know this by feeling it. It's not a goosebump running up and down my spine. But based on your word, I am praying the hidden wisdom of God. And I am praying that I interpret. And I just start doing that. And then, boom, God gives me creative ideas. God shows me what to do. God tells me different things. And I have seen this happen over and over and over and over again. Ways that have proven by time that it was certainly God that was speaking to me. It has been proven to me beyond a shadow of a doubt. But see, a lot of people, they just aren't aware of this spiritual realm. So when they come up into something, they go and search all of their wisdom, all of their ability. They might turn to another human being. They might turn to a book. But they're still looking just in the physical, natural realm, not realizing that the whole time they have the Spirit of Christ on the inside of them, that they are identical to Jesus. Everything that Jesus knows, your born-again spirit knows, because you have been given the mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2:16. You have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things, 1 John 2:20. You have been renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created you, Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. And they just don't draw on this because they don't know it there. It's there. They're just carnal. They're looking in the physical, natural realm instead of the spiritual realm. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, this is how the Christian life works. You in yourself, in just your physical body and in your soulish mind, mental, emotional part of you, are inadequate to live the Christian life. It's absolutely impossible to live up to the standards that Jesus put down in just your natural self. But there is another part of you, the Spirit, that has been recreated, created in righteousness and true holiness. It's identical to Jesus. It's ounce for ounce, molecule for molecule, identical to Jesus in the spirit realm. And you can draw this power and this life, this wisdom, this knowledge that lives in your spirit out. There's many ways of doing it, but certainly what I was talking about today is one of the most important, one of the quickest ways, and that's to pray in tongues. And when you're praying in tongues, your spirit is saying these supernatural things, and then pray that you interpret and let your spirit instruct your mind. Now, you have to always qualify that and put it together with the Word of God, because not every single thought that will come to you while you're praying in tongues is always of God. The Word of God is the acid test. But if you would do this and begin to draw this wisdom out, I guarantee you your life would be transformed. See, this is another application of this teaching on spirit and soul and body. This is one of the things that happened to me is when I began to understand this, no longer did I see myself as a mere human being. And I know that there's probably somebody watching this program says, well, who do you think you are? I think I'm born again and that I'm God-possessed. I think that one-third of me is wall-to-wall Holy Ghost. I think that one-third of me has been changed. And as Jesus is, so am I. I am not just human. You know, these songs, there's a real famous song that goes, Lord, I'm only human. I'm just a man. I'm not only human. I'm not just a man. One-third of me is now identical to Jesus. I have power and ability, and because of this, you can sit here and criticize it if you want to and think that I'm strange. You know, if you don't believe this, I think you're strange. I'm not saying that in a condemning way, but I'm just saying that this is what the Word teaches. And since I have begun to believe this, you know what? I have started seeing the power of God manifest to overcome depression and discouragement, criticism that people give me. I'm now living above those things. It's not that I don't have a soul and a body. It's not that when people say things and criticize me that it doesn't, you know, it still hurts. I don't think God wants you to get to a place to where you can sit there and let people spit in your face and slap you. And I've been kidnapped and threatened to be killed and all. You know what? Those things don't bless me. But I know that I am not limited to just this physical person. There's a part on the inside of me that is greater than all of that. It's in union with God, and because of it, I'm able to overcome these things. I've been able to overcome sickness and disease, not only in myself, but in other people. I've seen blind eyes open, deaf ears open. I've seen people raised from the dead. And you can sit there and say, man, you're crazy. You know, it's like Felix said, Paul, you're mad. And Paul said, I'm not mad. I wish that everybody was exactly of this same mind. You know what I'm sharing is that I know on the inside of me I am now a changed person. And through the Word of God, I'm able to perceive what these changes are. And I've been created in righteousness and true holiness. As Jesus is, so am I in this world. My spirit has been joined unto His spirit, and we are now one spirit, identical. What is true of Jesus is true of me. In my born-again spirit, I have the mind of Christ. I have an unction from the Holy One, and I know all things. I've been renewed in knowledge. I have all of these things on the inside of me, and just knowing that they're there changes the way that I approach things in my life. I no longer approach things as, oh God, I'm helpless, I'm hopeless, I can do nothing, would you please do it? I know that God has now placed His supernatural raising from the dead power on the inside of me, and I have it. Now, I have a physical body also, and you know, there are times that I get overwhelmed and discouraged, but praise God, at least I know what to do now when I feel discouragement and stuff. I go and I start praying in tongues and building myself up, and I go back to what God says, and I start drawing on that life that's on the inside of me. It's not out there somewhere. It's right here on the inside. I've been born again, and God Himself lives in me, and this has radically changed my life.
The faithful support of partners makes this program possible. We invite you to join Andrew as he spreads the message of God's unconditional love and grace. Write, call, or visit our website and become a partner today.
Andrew's complete teaching series titled Spirit, Soul, and Body is available on either CD or DVD as seen on our daily TV program. Each is offered for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify the CD or DVD when you order. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. Or if you prefer, Spirit, Soul, and Body is available in book form when you send a gift of any amount. You can also get this teaching in a companion study guide for a gift of $35 or more. The second audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you contact us. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this second CD titled Eternal Redemption, free of charge. A condensed version of Spirit, Soul, and Body is also included in Andrew's latest book titled Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword. This valuable book contains abbreviated versions of 16 of Andrew's most foundational teachings. It's available for a gift of any amount when you contact us. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Chicago, Illinois for a Gospel Truth Seminar August 4th through the 6th, in Tinley Park, Illinois, Sunday, August 7th, and in the New England area for a Gospel Truth Seminar August 25th through the 27th. He'll also be in Charlotte, North Carolina for the Freedom Christian Center Camp Meeting September 11th through the 16th, in Johnson City, Tennessee, September 17th and 18th, and in Colorado Springs, Colorado, for the annual Andrew Womack Ministers Conference, October 3rd through the 7th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
John chapter 14, verse 1. The very first thing that Jesus told his disciples, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled."
When I looked into his face, I saw his eyes flittering. And so I yelled at him and I says, "You are not going to leave me."
Next thing I know, I'm down in emergency room at the stroke center in Harris Methodist in Fort Worth.
One third of Alan's brain had not received blood.
The MRI scan of the brain showed a massive stroke.
They told me he was paralyzed on the left side. They told me that he could not swallow. They told me he could not speak.
They were saying he's going to need a stomach tube to be fed the rest of his life.
We were not very optimistic about the outcome.
We had spent that time in Christian survival. We had spent that time in harnessing your emotions. And I was harnessing my emotions. I was completely under control. And that's what disturbed the doctors the most. They were not going to speak death over him, because his life was in the balance. And I knew the truth, and the truth was going to set him free. And I knew it. I knew it would set complete. It would set everything free.
Log on to awmi.net. Look to the left. Click on Healing Testimonies. And take a healing journey with Alan and Debbie Moore.
It is not enough for you to have need. Need doesn't motivate God. God is motivated by His own love to meet our needs, and His power is available, but the thing that will release or appropriate this power of God is faith.